Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. I truly do hope you enjoyed the last episode talking about the divine masculine and divine feminine energies, because now we are going to be diving into relationships and really understanding how and why we get into the relationships that we get into and what you can do to really start to create the relationships that you want to experience. So as we dive into this episode, again, looking at it as the observer without the judgment, just observing where you have been, where you currently are, and where it is you want to go in your relationships, looking and identifying that masculine and feminine energy inside of yourself.
So for the purposes of this conversation, I'm going to speak about a man and a woman. And in that, please know that when I do speak of a man and a woman, I'm speaking of a masculine man, feminine woman. Anything else, as you heard in the last episode, can be. There could be feminine men. There could be masculine women. There, and it's also on a spectrum, right? So it's not you're one or the other. It's all through. So that's why, just for the ease of conversation, we're going to talk about men and women. Just know that that's what we mean. And so the very first thing to really understand is, why do we even get into relationships in the first place? And I know, yes, they're fun, they feel great, but if we look for a spiritual reason to get into a relationship, it's not really just for appreciation, it's more for growth. That people are put onto your path, whether it is a social, intimate, business relationship, or any other kind, they're put into your life so that you can learn something, so that you can grow in a particular way. That also means, by the way, that once you are done learning from someone, once they have completely fulfilled their purpose, they will leave one way or another. And we do have an entire episode coming up on the ends of relationships. When we're looking at the beginning, it's so that you can grow.
Absolutely. So knowing that, let's talk a little bit about what attracts you into certain relationships with certain people. And as you're thinking about different relationships that you've been involved in, recognizing and remembering what caught your eye or your heart when you first entered that relationship. What was it that made you light up, right? Because we're going to be looking at this from a few different perspectives when we talk about attraction, especially. And the way that I like to break this down is there's physical attraction, there's emotional attraction, there's mental attraction, and then there's that spiritual attraction. Now, for simplicity's sake, when we're talking about physical attraction, for most people, this is, you know, are you sexually and physically attracted to this person, right? Do you feel it a way where you are, there's something about them that gets you excited in that sense, right? And then as we move more into the emotional attraction, it's more so of like, wow, I really love the feelings that this person allows me to express and are that I'm able to see and feel them express in the way that they express themselves. And so coming again from the topics that we've talked about previously around electromagnetic fields, vibrational frequencies, right? Being attracted to the emotional frequency that this person's putting out. And then you get to the point of more mental attractions, right? The way that this person thinks, their beliefs, their values, how they operate in the world, and just the way that they communicate and how that relates to you. And then we get into the world of the spiritual. And this is a much more, in a way, a very divine attraction.
So I define spiritual attraction as two people who agree on their version of the universe, who agree on the meanings that they attribute to what's going on that is bigger than both of them. Like, for me, I am a full-on woo-woo weirdo. Like, for me, energy, feeling energy, you know, we're always talking about the electromagnetic signature. I can feel it in my body. It's one of my senses. I can feel you from across a room. And for me, when I talk about spiritual attraction, it's important for me to be able to express myself, the experiences that I have within life, how I see things, miracles, blessings, and all of that with someone who agrees, not someone who's going to say, universe, everything happens for no apparent reason. There are no such things as miracles and blessings. It's all coincidence. You're a freak, right? That to me would be like spiritually completely mismatched. But someone who could say, yeah, you know, today I felt really blessed because, you know, this little synchronicity happened. Like immediately I'm like, okay, we're on the same page here. Like, yeah, I like what you're putting down, you know? And to me, that's like spiritually attractive.
Well said. And so it's, again, I like the way that you mentioned this or that you phrase this and saying the way that somebody expresses themselves, right? Because how you express yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually is typically what you're attracted to and are what you're attracted by, right? Is how somebody's expressing themselves in those ways. So where do these attractions come from, and how do we find ourselves in specific relationships with certain types of people or with not certain types of people?
So I like to break it down into what I call mirroring and complimenting. Mirroring is when you attract someone who is on the same level, right? When we're talking about sending out a message and someone who resonates with that message, they come in to you. Now, that may mean that they are like experiencing the same thing. So, for example, I know that when I was really depressed, I dated women who were also depressed or they had depressive tendencies. And I notice that now when I'm in a completely different area of my life, which is full of, even though I might be going through really big challenges and things that are scary and all that, whatever, my tendency is to be really happy and positive and spiritual. So I tend to attract women who are very happy and positive and spiritual. So that can happen on all sorts of wavelength, right? The other side is complimenting. And this can also happen in two major ways. One is when someone compliments you, when you attract someone or attracted to someone because they make up for a deficiency. Now, notice how much self-judgment there is within that, right? That's important here when we're looking at it. Because sometimes, say, easiest one for me to think of, because that's where I spent a lot of my life, a depressed person may be attracted to someone who is very happy, unconsciously thinking that, oh, you know, if I'm in a relationship with that, here's something I can't give to myself. Maybe I can get some of that for myself. Maybe I'll have some of that for myself. It fills the need. It fills the void, the gap there, right? But that's really dangerous. And we'll get into that in a different episode. But the other way, when we're talking about from a powerful place, which is kind of what happens to me now within all of my relationships, intimate or not, is that I tend to notice that I form really tight relationships with people who just make up where I just don't pay attention. Like I have a couple of friends who are really good at math, and I'm so grateful because not only am I bad at it, I don't care about it. There's zero care to become better at it, right?
He's definitely not talking about me.
Yes, we mirror and compliment each other in a lot of different ways. Actually, I would say our relationship is a lot more mirroring.
A lot more mirroring.
Got us together. We're like, holy shit. Like we connect on so many levels. We've got to do something.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's my masculine version of me.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous and it flows. And I hope that you enjoy it as much as we do. But I do have friends who are like, they're really good at math or certain things. And to me, I appreciate them, not because I feel the need or whatever. I just love that they can do something that I just don't even care about being good at. And it's amazing to have that where it's like, ah, look at this person being awesome at this thing. Thank God I don't have to do it because I got them around. Like, it's just fun. And we get to play with each other and appreciate each other from that side. So there you have mirroring and complimenting in both ways that it can apply. So you can already start looking at your previous relationships, or maybe if you're in a relationship right now, where is it? And by the way, if it starts mirroring, it doesn't always end there, right? Relationships adapt and they flow. You may start off by complimenting and end up mirroring, or you can go in and out of one or the other. So where are you now? Or you can think about where did you start? And then you can start really looking at how things felt, where you were, where they were, and understand how things came about in the first place.
And so this brings up probably one of my favorite, most interesting pieces in relationships, when we're talking about how those relationships come about and how we actually attract our, in a way, we start to unconsciously look for certain partners, right? And this is diving back into opening piece on here that everyone comes into your life for a certain reason, for you to learn something so that you can grow and so you can evolve. And the perspective that I like to take on this is that your relationships tend to be an opportunity for you to heal a part of yourself from your childhood. And oftentimes at an unconscious level, what will happen in relationships is we will seek out people that have similar traits to our parents, whether it's in the way that they show up, their personalities, behavior patterns, whatever it is, because oftentimes we tend to have a lot of unresolved leftover from childhood. And so because of that, we are seeking to, at an unconscious soul level, heal those wounds. So we seek out people that mirror the qualities and are the behavioral patterns of our parents. And the example that I'll use for this is a little bit of my own experience, where from a very early age, I had a lot of rejection and a lot of abandonment issues with my father. And because of that, I would seek out men who tend to be much more less emotionally available and who tended to want more independence and who tended to crave more emotional freedom. And so when I would get into these relationships, I found that really attractive at first, and then it would start to nag at that wound. And it was a beautiful thing because it was, why am I feeling insecure and fearing rejection and fearing abandonment when this person is showing up in this way? Which is the interesting thing as we start to talk more about relationships in future episodes, is that it had nothing to do with a person, but how I was embodying how they were showing up. And so as this person started showing up that way, I started to open up this wound from a childhood experience and respond from that hurt, from that wound, that fear of abandonment, that fear of rejection. And so if I were to respond out of fear and out of pain and out of hurt, and we'll get into this in future episodes, I would start to actually push the person away. And as a self-fulfilling prophecy would have it, they would then leave. But the beautiful thing is learning that, wow, okay, when somebody's showing up into your life and you start to recognize that these wounds are coming up for you, it's not that they're there to hurt you. It's actually that they're there to heal you. And so when those wounds start to show up, especially in more intimate relationships, it's recognizing that, oh, what's showing up in here inside of me that's being triggered in my relationship, because it's a reflection of yourself, right? Your partner is a reflection of your deepest fears, your deeper parts of you that typically you wouldn't want to see. And so as you look in your partner, you tend to see a lot of pieces of yourself that you want to either be and are that you don't like, right? And that's where we talk about mirroring from a different perspective of you're either going to see the parts you love in your partner that you wish you were more of, or the parts that you really don't like and you wish you didn't have. So it's recognizing in that as well that when you're looking at relationships, right, and you're starting to find yourself attracted to certain types of people, and you notice certain patterns in all these relationships that you've been having, maybe as you're thinking about the ones that you've been living, and you say, I've noticed in every relationship that I've been in, they've left, or they've cheated, or they've done this thing, they've behaved the same way. And it's interesting. What's the common denominator in every single one of those relationships? And you'll start to notice that it's you. And this is where you can start to see that, maybe there is possibility that you've been attracting a certain type of person, but more so you've been attracting a certain type of person that's been coming into your life for you to go internal, recognize that childhood wound so that you can heal it, learn from it, and grow it.
Right. And we're going to have an episode coming up on just all sorts of different techniques and strategies to create an amazing relationship once you're already in it that will allow you to consistently grow. But it needs to really be formed and founded on this idea that, yes, this person is here, not even so that you can enjoy life as much as so that you can grow in it. Mm-hmm. And when you have that, it already helps you with so many things. Because if you look at it like, oh, we're supposed to enjoy each other, the moment there's a blip, you're like, ooh, this relationship is not serving its purpose. And that's when people start bowing out, right? And they already start looking for the exit because they've got the wrong purpose in mind. So when you start off by saying, yes, 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 perfect. Here's another abusive person. Maybe it's time for me to learn how to be strong. And I know it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be that easy. But I know for me, I got into relationships and I would always get bored with them. And I thought, why am I attracting a bunch of freaking boring people? And I realized, actually, they were not boring. I just had this insatiable need for even more that I led myself to believe that I was not good enough, that I was not fun enough, and that they were not fun enough. And then I just forced myself into being bored based on my own beliefs. And so I kept on attracting people who would lead me into the same thing until I could learn that and heal that. And then presto, started attracting different people. Actually, you know, it's really interesting. When I cleared out that belief or these beliefs about myself, I started actually attracting really interesting people, like really exciting people. Whether it's because I could finally appreciate that within them, or maybe I just put out a different signal, but that's what happened. And so my reasons for getting in relationships then changed because I did as well. And that kind of leads us into the idea of, okay, well, how do you become attractive, right? How do you change in a way that will attract the people who you consciously want to attract so that then your unconscious attraction systems will work in accordance with your goals?
This is a fun one. It's interesting that you bring that up because, again, it really is that process of holding up that mirror, right? Of recognizing those patterns in previous relationships, especially if you've been in a few. Because then you can start to see, okay, what are these parts of me that I need to recognize, love, and heal and accept in a way to where then I can attract someone that can mirror where I currently am or where I want to be. And so the biggest thing that we've talked about in past episodes is the concept that you attract what you are, not what you want. And so it's understanding that if you want to attract somebody who is emotionally stable and magnificent and fun and energetic and charismatic and loving and free, it's about you stepping into that energy within yourself.
So there it is also, it's sort of like the idea of you must love yourself before someone else can love you, right? You've got to treat yourself in the way that you want people to treat you, right? The inverse of the golden rule. And that really connects with who are you? Look at your beliefs. And again, if you need to review the toolkit, the first about 10 episodes, to really understand what beliefs are, what your self-image is, how do you see yourself, how do you create your reality, and all of that good stuff, please go and check it out. Learn about your values and how to find them. Learn about how you're filtering people in or out and how you view yourself, because that must shift in order for you to shift the message that you're putting out and the messages that you're getting back in. It's sort of like if you're ever using online dating or mobile dating. Changing your beliefs is like changing your bio. If your beliefs are that you're not good enough, that you'll never be successful, that you're not worthy of having happiness, it doesn't matter what you want or what you tell yourself, right? If this is what you believe deep down, then it's like filling your bio with that. And so you're going to get people who are either attracted to that or who agree with it, you know, within themselves. And then your self-image, well, that's just like putting up pictures. If you put up a bunch of pictures of you frowning or a bunch of you crying or getting angry and punching holes in the walls, well, you're going to attract a very specific kind of person. So when we're talking about becoming even more attractive, the useful thing to do would be, like Sophie said, well, write down all of the ideal qualities that you would want to have inside of a partner. Who is the perfect partner? Include physical traits, by the way, because if you want someone who has rock hard abs, but you're 100 pounds overweight, might be a little bit of disparity. Now, I'm not knocking anybody and, you know, I'm not going to try to fat shame you or anything like that. You love your body. I am saying, though, that if you want to give yourself the best chances of attracting someone who is fitting those ideal qualities, including physical traits, the best way to do it is by embodying those traits and qualities first.
I so love that you said that. Again, guys, be beating a dead horse here, but really, you attract what you are, not what you want. And so it is understanding that, who are you? What are you? How are you showing up? Because that is what you're putting out, and you are going to attract quite literally somebody very similar who's going to match and mirror a lot of those pieces. So as Dan mentioned, again, it really is this process of becoming that person, becoming what you want to experience. And also, what I will mention about beliefs about yourself, but also your beliefs about other people. The opposite sex or the same sex, depending on your sexual preferences. What are your beliefs about dating, right? What are your beliefs about relationships? What are your beliefs about men or about women? And because becoming aware of that also is really, really important in understanding what you're going to be paying attention to and the type of self-fulfilling prophecies that you're going to attract.
So with that, I've actually got two tasks for you today.
Woo!
Because this is just such a great topic, right? And the thing is that, you know, keep in mind that as we're talking about getting into relationships, you can use these tasks to improve current relationships, okay? So please do these no matter what, whether you're single or whether you are off the market, whatever. Start off by reviewing either the relationship that you're in or your last relationship and identify whether you were mirroring each other or complementing each other, or maybe mirroring in some ways and complementing in other ways. And then pay attention to how that relationship, either if you're single now, how that relationship completely went through its cycle. How did it continue? How did it end? And the relationship to whether you were mirroring or complementing each other. Or if you're in a current relationship, take a look at the current state of your relationship and see whether things can be further improved by analyzing where things are being mirrored and complementing. And this is also where the second part really plays in. I want you to write that list of ideal qualities that you want to have within a partner, whether you're in a relationship right now or not, right? Even if you're in a relationship, this is very useful. Just assume that your partner could change in any way you wanted them to change. And you're writing the ideal list of what you want them to be when you're done, right? Then I want you to look at your qualities with respect to these qualities. And I want you to see how many of these qualities do you embody right now. And then I want you to create a list out of those ideal qualities of a partner that you will embody. Take some action steps. If you have something written down saying they're patient, but you maybe have not been so patient recently, circle that. And I want you to create reminders, or I want you to enlist your partner, or I want you to do whatever you can in order to help you grow into becoming even more patient. If you have pays attention to my needs even more, look at yourself. Have you been paying attention to your partner's needs? Or if you're single, have you been paying attention to your own needs? And maybe you can do that even more, starting to get the picture of how to use these two steps, right? And that way you can immediately either improve the relationship you have with yourself, improve yourself so that you can have an even better relationship in the future, or improve the current relationship you're in right now.
Boom. And with that being said, really, really do please take the time to do this exercise. Again, we love, love, love hearing from you guys. And so what we will be talking about on the next episode, things are going to get a little hot and spicy as we talk about sex and intimacy in relationships and how you can start improving your relationships through these areas. So on that note, guys, have a fantastic day. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you on the next one.
See you later, alligator.